Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 55 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Naya Andweza.
If these people that are doing this would think about what they would be doing in my situation.
The family of a missing Lexington woman has been targeted by ransom scams.
A Flatwoods man has been indicted for abusing his 10-month-old son in Rowan County.
A grand jury indicted 10 people on felony drug-related charges last week.
The Rowan County Christian Academy will close after February 1st.
Kentucky Power is offering STEM grants to students and educators.
In sports, the Lady Comets compete in the All-A tournament at EKU tonight.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Rain and snow expected overnight with a low around 26 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Flatwoods man was indicted in Rowan County for first-degree criminal abuse. A grand jury handed down the indictment on January 18th for 30-year-old Corey Rohr. Rohr was arrested November 15th in Rowan County for allegedly abusing his 10-month-old son, causing the child to have a black eye, busted lip, facial and neck bruising, and a chipped tooth. Rohr's bond was set at $2,500, and he was released November 19th. If convicted, Rohr could face up to 5 to 10 years in prison. He's scheduled to appear for a pretrial conference on March 1st.
A Rowan County grand jury indicted 10 people for felony drug-related charges last week. Pamela Wages, Billy Barker, William Moore, James Reynolds, Jason Martin, and Randy Pennington were indicted for possession of methamphetamine and other drug-related charges. 32-year-old Michael Kahn and 45-year-old Carla Jones were indicted for possession of oxycodone and other drug-related charges. 48-year-old April Hall was indicted for possession of drug paraphernalia, promoting contraband and public intoxication-controlled substance. And 26-year-old Torrin Hester was indicted for possession of controlled substance classified as cocaine and possession of drug paraphernalia. All 10 individuals will appear in Rowan Circuit Court in March.
Scammers are reportedly using a missing Lexington woman's case as a way to get ransom money. WYMT reports Savannah Spurlock has been missing since January 4th. Since that time, scammers have been calling and messaging family members in an attempt to receive ransom money. Some scammers have taken their attempts to Facebook, asking for things like gift cards and Bitcoin in exchange for Spurlock. Spurlock's mother, Ellen, says the scammers are only wasting investigators' time on solving the real issue.
They have to investigate everything they get, no matter how silly it seems or how, yes, they investigate all the rumors, yes. And then see, that holds up on what they really need to find the truth.
Spurlock says what scammers are doing is cruel, and they may not be acting that way if it was them in her situation. Police have not determined if foul play was involved in Spurlock's disappearance.
A woman in Ashland was arrested after stealing a pizza delivery car. Keneally Roberts has the story.
Authorities say on Sunday, 32-year-old Danita Ambergy hit another vehicle with a family inside while driving a stolen pizza delivery car. Ambergy was hospitalized for a possible drug overdose and left the hospital against medical advice. WKYT reports she allegedly assaulted an EMT, then got into the pizza delivery car and took off. Police were able to find her and attempted to pull her over. Authorities say she then hit another car with a family inside. Ambergy was taken to the Boyd County Detention Center. She's facing several charges, including wanton endangerment and robbery. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
Two Paris residents are in the University of Kentucky Hospital after a standoff with police in Bourbon County on Tuesday. LAX 18 reports officers responded to a domestic violence call around 2:15 a.m. The woman in the case was allegedly stabbed by a man named Brian Fields. The woman and Fields had been in a relationship, and Fields had a domestic violence order against him. Fields had fled the scene but returned later and was spotted by police, where he was chased inside and where he locked himself in a room. Officers eventually got into the room and apprehended Fields. The woman's name has not yet been released, but she is in critical condition, and police say they are filing charges.
The Fayette County Coroner's Office has identified the victim of a Lexington homicide. 17-year-old Alicia Reed was pronounced dead on Saturday. According to WKYT, Reed was one of several teenagers inside a Palumbo Drive apartment when a shooting occurred last Thursday night. Investigators say that drugs were found at the scene. Details about the victim's cause of death are pending an autopsy on Wednesday.
1 year after a teenager opened fire at a high school in western Kentucky, a lawsuit has been filed by some of the victims' families. Haley Hansen reports.
16-year-old Gabe Parker is accused of opening fire at Marshall County High School, killing 15-year-olds Bailey Holt and Preston Cope, and injuring more than a dozen other students. Now, the families of four of the victims have filed a lawsuit against Parker, his family, and the school. The lawsuit claims the school knew how dangerous Parker was, but did nothing to intervene, resulting in the shooting. Parker is facing two murder charges and 14 assault charges. He was indicted as an adult. I'm Haley Hansen.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The Rowan County Christian Academy has announced it will be closing its doors. The school, located at the First Church of God in Moorhead, released a statement today stating the last day of classes will be February 1st. It cites an inability to fix financial issues with the school as well as low enrollment as reasons for the school's closure. RCCA began as Mother's Day Out in 1991, eventually becoming the Rowan County Christian Academy in 1994.
Johnson County schools were closed today after multiple cases of influenza and a confirmed case of hepatitis A. Superintendent Tom Cochran posted to the district's Facebook page on Tuesday night, saying the Johnson County Middle School staff member who was infected with hepatitis A did not work in food service. The closure is a precautionary measure allowing crews to clean and sanitize the schools. Cochran reminded parents that Kentucky law requires students to receive the hepatitis A vaccine before the beginning of the school year, which means the virus posed no risk to students. Wednesday will be a non-traditional instruction day.
Kentucky Power and American Electric Power are offering students in eastern Kentucky a chance to compete for extra money through grants. Students may enter into the first robotics grant program for a chance to win a grant of up to a few thousand dollars. Corporate communications manager Allison Barker says the robotics grant allows schools to participate in robotics competitions.
There's different levels of grant assistance available. On the high school level, teams can get up to $6,000. For the middle school ages, that is $500 for the first Lego League competition. And for elementary schools, it's $250.
A link is posted on KentuckyPower.com under the News and Information section for those who wish to apply. The deadline for first robotics applicants is Friday, January 25th.
The University of Kentucky is hosting a self-defense class designed specifically for LGBTQ students. WMKY's Haley Stidham has more.
Registration for the UK self-defense class opened Wednesday. According to WKYT, the class is part of a program called Self-Defense Tactics and Risk Reduction. The class will begin a two-hour discussion on reducing the risk of being targeted and general safety tips. The rest of the time will be spent learning how to defend against larger and stronger attacks. The class is being taught by certified instructors from April 10th to April 12th. UK students who want to sign up for the class can do so through the school's police department website. For WMKY News, I'm Haley Stidham.
A Maysville restaurant is serving free meals to federal workers and their families. Sil Flores is the owner of Salito's, and he wants to give the workers a free meal every Monday and Wednesday until the shutdown is over. All the employees have to do is bring an ID showing that they are a federal employee and will receive a meal. People are also welcome to sponsor meals to the families hurting from the shutdown. They just tell Flores how many meals they want to sponsor.
Families and charitable organizations around the Commonwealth are wondering what the month of March holds for SNAP benefits. According to WKYT, many families have already received their food stamps benefits for the month of February, but it's still unclear how the ongoing government shutdown will affect those benefits for the coming months. Michael Halligan is the CEO of God's Pantry Food Bank. He says food banks can't fully replace what SNAP benefits can offer.
For every meal that a food bank is able to distribute, SNAP provides 12. So it's almost impossible for a food bank and for other charitable organizations to make up the difference for what SNAP provides if SNAP isn't funded for March and beyond. It's a very big concern.
Halligan says God's Pantry won't be able to completely recover from the loss of SNAP benefits. Two groups in Lexington are currently holding a community-wide meeting that'll be Saturday to discuss how to provide food and housing to those who need it during the shutdown.
The Knott County Fiscal Court voted unanimously in favor of a partial government shutdown on Tuesday evening. The county says it made the December decision to prevent adding new taxes to residents. According to WKYT, this shutdown has canceled health insurance for all county employees and elected officials, as well as take away funds from the road department. Knott County Road Supervisor Ricky McDaniel says issue road crews can respond to are now very limited.
The work we'll be doing out there looks like from here forward until they get something resolved will be mudslides, trees falling across the road. It'll be pretty much emergency work only.
McDaniel also says he hopes the shutdown doesn't harm his employees. He says insurance is a large part of the pay for his workers and understands the shutdown is a big hit. The Senior Citizens Program, which brings food to the elderly in need around the county, will also see cuts, and layoffs in all county departments are expected. Taking a look at the weather for tonight, rain with some snow mixing in overnight and a low of 28. Thursday, cloudy skies. Early will become partly cloudy later in the day with a high around 33. Thursday night, scattered flurries and snow showers with a low around 15. Friday, sunny skies with a high of 24. Friday night, partly cloudy skies in the evening will give way to cloudy skies overnight and a low of 18. Taking a look at the temperatures in the surrounding areas, in Lexington, it's 51, Mount Sterling, 53, Inez, 62, Grayson, 58, Ashland, 59, Maysville, 51, Flemingsburg, 51, and here in Moorhead, it's 55 degrees.
Back in November, a group of students from area high schools attended the Teen Writers Day Out here on the campus of Moorhead State University. On our feature segment today, we'll hear from two of those writers.
Hi, my name is Kenji Anderson, and I go to Flynn County. I'm a senior. My piece is titled, I Hope Heaven is Lovely. Hey, buddy, I've been thinking about you here lately. It's been a while since you've left. There's been quite a change. The world has been quite cold. Every morning and night when the sun rises and sets, you paint your love in the sky. So beautiful, but so bright. Hey, buddy, I've been thinking about your smile. So pure, so white. It makes me think of the clouds. It's so comforting, so white. God wanted you, so he set you free. We all ache, but we know you're okay. It's not fair. You were taken from us too soon. I know you're watching over us, but we need you here. We are broken. We still think of you. Please don't think we will forget your smile. It still lingers. It's like you never left. Hey, buddy, I've been thinking about you. I hope you're doing all right. Hey, buddy, please keep us safe. Show us your beautiful light. Hey, buddy, please know that you ease our fight. This is for our light still shining bright. Zach Maddox.
Hi, I'm Rachel Emmerich from Round County Senior High School, and my piece is called I Still Believe. As a high schooler in Eastern Kentucky, raised in such a polarizing climate, where civil discussion and rationality are seemingly forgotten, I believe it's important to remember that ideas are a spectrum, not a sports team. I believe wholeheartedly in open discourse and the freedom of all to state their opinion without fear of repercussions. I believe that debate and new ideas are the heart and lifeblood of America. I believe that consistency, civility, and logic, which are sadly so often undermined, should rule the conversation. I believe that the truth is the truth no matter whose mouth it comes from. I believe there are more than two sides of the story. I still believe. Through all the tension, the ignition, and the madness, and despite all of its flaws, I still believe in the idea of and the future of America and the promise it holds.
That's Kenzie Anderson in Fleming County and Rachel Emmerich from Rowan County High School at the Teen Writers Day Out event here at Morehead State University. It's 4:47 and 55 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Naya Andueza, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this dreary Wednesday afternoon. Nacogdoches Miller has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with six lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
West Carter girls battle in the All-A tonight. For WNKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller. The girls All-A state tournament is taking place at Eastern Kentucky University's McBrayer Arena this afternoon. West Carter is set to take on Paintsville tonight. The Lady Comets hold the top seat in the 16th region with a 17-3 record. The Lady Tigers are holding on to the number 2 seat in the 15th region with 17-4 record. Tip-off for that matchup is set for 9:30 p.m. Already this afternoon, Holy Cross Covington took down Middlesbrough 59-35, Metcalf County beat Holy Cross Louisville 58-49, and Murray squeaked past Danville with 56-54. Bishop Brossart and Bethlehem are about to tip off, and two additional games will take place before the West and Paintsville meet in the evening's nightcap. Winners from today's game return to EKU Friday. The championship game is slated for Sunday at noon. In high school boys basketball action closer to home tonight, Montgomery County will host Bourbon County. The Colonials are 16-7 going into tonight's matchup, holding on to the number 2 seat in the 10th region. The Indians are 10-10 on their season, coming off a 64-71 loss to Robertson County at home on Monday. Tip-off tonight in Mount Sterling is set for 7:45 p.m. The Round County basketball teams are in the gym today, preparing to hit the road this week for a doubleheader at Fleming County. The 18-2 boys squad can lock up the top seed in the 61st District Tournament with win over the Panthers. Head coach Sean Thacker talks about his team's preparation.
We'll work a little bit on some of the things that that Fleming will do to us defensively, naturally. But, you know, we'll continue to work on us and continue to you know, get this team better, work on, you know, got to start working on special situations, getting our kids ready more, you know, keep preparing for the postseason.
The boys are slated for an 8 p.m. tip-off on Friday. But before that contest, the Lady Vikings will take on Fleming in the first game of the doubleheader. Coming into the game at 15-4, round-toppled Bracken County 74-38 on Tuesday night. Coach Matt Stokes says his team is working primarily on its shooting at today's practice.
We'll take today, we'll do some shooting. Our freshman and JV have an away game. So I'm only going to have about seven or eight girls in the gym right after school for practice today. So we'll go over those plays we just learned and get a lot of shots up today.
The girls take on the Lady Panthers at 6 p.m. Friday. The Morehead State men's basketball team is continuing to prepare for its matchup with Tennessee Tech tomorrow evening. The Eagles are officially on a streak after picking up their last three wins, their most recent being against UT Martin over the weekend at 85-77. Head coach Preston Spaulding says it's been a while since their last streak, and he's proud of the guys for hanging in there.
So it's been a long time. Been a long time coming, and I think our guys have done a terrific job of handling the adversity and learning from those lessons and keeping the faith, believing that, you know, we've got bigger and better plans in store. Just got to, you know, keep pounding that stone, and at some point it's going to crack, and here it is, and I'm real proud of our guys, and it's fun to be able to do it here at home as well.
Tip-off against the Golden Eagles is set for 7:35 p.m. After helping her squad to two wins in which she averaged 13.5 points and 13 rebounds per contest, Morehead State women's basketball senior Tara McGowan has been selected as the Ohio Valley Conference Player of the Week. McGowan, a 6'3" forward who missed four games in November with an ankle injury, turned in her best game of the 2018-2019 season in the Eagles' 85-75 win over UT Martin on Saturday. Head coach Greg Todd says seeing that level of performance out of McGowan is nothing new.
Tierra, just can't say enough good things. That's what we saw out of her last year when she was healthy, and that may have been, considering the situation, maybe one of the best games she's played in her career to get 18-17 in a tough game.
The award marks the first time McGowan has received the Conference Player of the Week honor. She won the OVC's Newcomer of the Week award six times during her inaugural season as an Eagle in 2017-2018. The University of Kentucky basketball team is continuing to work during its difficult stretch of top-ranked teams. The Wildcats are preparing to face off with 9th-ranked Kansas Saturday. Heading into that matchup, head coach John Calipari is now working to show his players examples in game film where they end up beating themselves.
We made some plays that kept, they make a play, we made a play. We did, but there were 10. Two of them were free throw blockouts. Another one was just bouncing one off your foot because you're not really alert. Two of them not getting open. Why would you not get open? Why would you run from the guy? We work every day on getting into all those kind of things. It only takes one or two things to change the whole complexion of a game.
Tip-off Saturday is at 6 o'clock in Lexington. The controversial outcome of the Saints-Rams game after an alleged missed call has resulted in a lawsuit against the NFL and Roger Goodwin. WMKY's Grant Johnson has the story.
According to WGNO, New Orleans attorney Frank J. D'Amco Jr. has filed suit in civil district court for Orleans Parish to ask the courts to order the commissioner to take action over the Saints-Rams outcome of the NFC Championship game held in New Orleans on Sunday. D'Amco said he's asking the court to order the commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell, to take action. He said the NFL rulebook clearly gives Goodell the power and authority to reverse the results of a game or even put the teams back on the field to replay the game from the point where the penalty should have been called. He said he decided to take legal action against the NFL after being approached by several season ticket holders and members of the Houdat Nation. A court hearing is set for January 28th at 10 a.m. For WMKY News, I'm Grant Johnson.
For WMKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Tennessee Tech for an OVC doubleheader tomorrow night. The women's game begins at 5:05 p.m. and the men's action tips off at 7:35. Tickets on sale from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials rose on the back of strong quarterly earnings from companies like IBM, United Technologies, and Procter & Gamble. And at the close, the Dow Industrial average showed a gain of 171.14 at 24,575.62. The Dow was stronger than the broader indices, with the S&P 500 up 5.8 at 2638.70 and the NASDAQ Composite up 5.41 at 7025.77. As mentioned, Dow members United Technologies and Procter & Gamble, both very strong today as both stocks were up over 4% after reporting better-than-expected earnings. IBM, another Dow component, jumped almost or over 8% in its best session since October 2017 after the company reported stronger-than-expected earnings. And overall, profits for companies that have reported earnings for the fourth quarter have grown by 13.2% on average, and this is slightly above expectations. However, that would be the slowest pace of earnings growth since the fourth quarter of 2017, when the S&P 500 profits expanded by 15.5%. In the commodities markets, West Texas Intermediate oil was down 0.75% at $52.60 a barrel. Gold was up $1 at $1,282.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were quiet today, with the Stock 600 index down less than 0.1%. In the Far East, stocks were mixed and quiet. The Nikkei was down 0.8%, while the Shanghai Composite was up less than 0.1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were IBM and United Technologies. The worst performers were Chevron and ExxonMobil. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Waters Corporation and Synchrony Financial, and the worst performers were Take-Two Interactive and Capital One Financial. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Dollar General up 69 cents at 113.59, CSX down 75 cents at 65.08, Marathon Petroleum up 5 cents at 64.87, Fifth Third Bank up a penny at 27.57, Yum Brands was up 72 cents at 92.77, and Humana was up 43 cents to finish at 299.21. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the Moorhead History and Railroad Museum offers vintage displays, artifacts, model trains, photographs, videos, and guided tours. The museum is located across from the Moorhead Conference Center on East 1st Street, open to the public, and admission is free. Hours are Friday and Saturdays from noon to 4 p.m.
Coffee Tree Books on Main Street in Moorhead will host an album release concert by the Woodsheep at 5 p.m. on Saturday, January 26th. Bring an instrument for a pre-concert jam session. Refreshments will be provided.
A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at the Moorhead Kroger from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, February 2nd. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. All donors will receive a free t-shirt.
The Paramount Arts Center in Ashland welcomes magician Bill Blagg at 7:30 p.m. on Friday, February 8th. Tickets are priced from $18 to $38. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast. Tonight, rain with some snow mixing in overnight and a low of 28. Thursday, cloudy skies early will become partly cloudy later in the day with a high around 33. Thursday night, scattered flurries and snow showers with a low around 15. Friday, sunny skies with a high of 24. Friday night, partly cloudy skies in the evening will give way to cloudy skies overnight.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Tandy Wallingford, Cody Robinson, Nacogdoches Miller, Chanasty Davis, Haley Stidham, Keneally Roberts, Cassidy Stearman, Jack Cottle, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. KNN's Haley Hansen, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from the Writer's Day Out event at Moorhead State University. This is Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Naya and Weza and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.